Good morning, students. Welcome to today's e-learning. I am going to teach government for SS1. I am still Mrs. Florence Iwanyawu. I hope you still remembered that we stopped at the advantages of confederal system of government. If you remember vividly, remember that I told you that confederal system of government could be defined as a voluntary association of sovereign states with a weak center. And we stopped at the advantages. Today, we are going to start our today's class with the disadvantages of confederal system of government, after which we go to the new topic, monarchy system. Okay, please pay attention. Now, one of the major disadvantages of confederal system is political instability. Political instability. Now, it is always disadvantageous when a government is not steady. That is when there is a change from time to time. You know, in the case of confederation, whenever there is secession, other countries or other member nations or other component states, if you like, will be highly affected. And that also can affect the existence of confederation. Another point is no effective central authority. No effective central authority. This is because a sovereign power cannot be located in a confederation. A sovereign power cannot be located in a confederation. Why? The reason is because the component units are interested in their different countries. Where this sovereignty could be located should be at the central government, isn't it? But in this regard, every one of them is interested in their own different states, and therefore, the representatives don't even have powers of their own to make decisions. That is why we say that there is no effective central authority. Okay. Another point is breaking of the union. Breaking of the union. The union breaks away as a result of secession. The moment a country or two decides to secede from the union, there must be a breakup. That means that things will no longer be the same. Like Chinua Achebe said, things fall apart. If those component units decide that they have had enough and they want to go back to their different countries, they want to secede, the union can no longer be what it used to be. Remember Senegal and Gambia, they practiced it to an extent and decided that they had enough. Another point is spirit of nationality. Spirit of nationality. Now, the spirit of nationality is out of question because the representatives are accountable to their different component units. So there is no spirit of nationality here. When you watch some movies, you will always see Americans, you know, depicting this love for their country, you know, trying to do a lot of things for their country. They are ready to die for their country and all that. But in this kind of union, nobody is dying for the country. Nobody is ready to do that because they are all accountable to their individual component unit. Okay. Another point is delay in effecting issues or policies affecting the union. That is putting it into action. Probably there was a decision that was made previously for some actions to be taken. Most of the members will be reluctant to take decision, probably because they've not made due consultations. You know, as a result of this, the decisions will be delayed. Okay. Another one is absence of national armed forces. Absence of national armed forces is a disadvantage. Like I told you, it's one of the features and also an advantage. Because there is absence of this, if there is need for emergency, you know, for the union to come together and fight against external aggression, it will be difficult because there were no prepared group of persons or armed forces that have been trained in this form to take care of such situation. The last, but not the least, is separate diplomatic representation. Separate diplomatic representation. Now you begin to wonder. What this is talking about is that different component units belong to one international organization or the other. They belong to one international organization or the other. And as such, their belief system or probably their policy making will differ. That's what we call foreign policy, but it's not in your scheme for now. It's a SS2 scheme. You know, different policies are made according to the bilateral relationship between a country and the other. Now, because it varies from country to country, their reasons for coming together might also vary. And that is its advantage. Okay. Now, I want you to go back. What you have to do for this topic we have concluded, go back, draw out four differences between federal system of government and confederal system. I said you should go back on your own, draw out four differences between confederal system and federal system. Remember that when you are drawing differences, the differences usually start from definitions. Okay? That the differences, you will notice it from the various definitions. Okay. Now, our today's major topic is monarchy system. I said our today's topic is monarchy system. Now, sometimes students tend to make this mistake between the term monarch and monarchy. Now, a monarch is the one who is in charge of the administration, okay? While monarchy is a system of government, just like we have confederation as a system of government, that is what we call monarchy, a system of government. Monarch, the person that is in charge, okay? It could be a king, it could be a queen, it could be an emperor. This person is referred to as a monarch, while monarchy is a system through which this monarch operates. Is that clear? Okay, let's do it. Okay, monarchy system of government is defined as a state ruled by a supreme authority called monarch. Monarchy system of government is a system ruled by a supreme authority called a monarch. Full stop. Okay. Monarchy was the first form of government devised by societies that needed strong leaders that would secure their sovereignty from the hands of their neighbors. Now, I want to explain this. This is an age-long form of government. It has started long time ago. It didn't just start in our time. It has been there long time ago. And a monarch could be a king, queen, or an emperor. A monarch could be a king, queen, or an emperor. In our recent times, the Great Britain is practicing monarchy system. That is constitutional monarchy, if you like, but that's not what we're talking about right now. In Africa, for example, Ethiopia has once practiced monarchy system. Ethiopia has once practiced monarchy system. Now, in Nigeria, it has never really been adopted as an official system of government. But when you look at the practices of the northern people, especially when it had to do with their sultan and his activities, you will realize that it is like monarchy. When we did, those of them in SS2, they will be doing pre-colonial political administration in the north. One of the next topics they will be doing. They find out that it has always been here in Nigeria, in the northern part of the country, because their system is monarchical. Okay. Another place where this had also been practiced includes Saudi Arabia, Morocco, Iran, Iraq, some years back. Okay. Now let's look at the features of this system. But what we are going to do is we have to know that there are two types of monarchy. There are two types of monarchy. What I've just done is giving you a general introduction of the term monarchy system. But there are two types of monarchy. One is tagged absolute monarchy, and the other is tagged constitutional monarchy. Now we're going to do it one by one. Let's look at the features of absolute monarchy. Now, first of all, I want you to get something straight. When we talk about an absolute monarch, we are looking at a leader who does not take orders from anyone. Who does not take orders from anyone. No, from a person or constitution. The person could be referred to as an absolute monarch. That is a leader who makes decisions on his own. Okay, now let's look at the features of this system. Now, one of the major features of this system is that power is invested in one person who controls the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary. Power is invested in one person who controls the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary. Now, I want you to get something straight. No matter the type of system of government any nation is practicing, there is always the presence of the three organs of government. But the question is, will they be allowed to practice or function? But whether they will be there, they will always be there. Before the colonial masters came to Nigeria, different regions, three different major regions in Nigeria were practicing one system of government or the other on their own. And all these three organs were all in existence. I just want you to understand this. Okay, another point is that he is not controlled by the laws of the land. He is not controlled by the laws of the land. Of course, there will always be laws of the land. But this absolute monarch is above the law. Okay, this absolute monarch is above the law. Another point is his will becomes law. His will becomes law. That is, he enacts law whenever he feels like, without the approval of the people. That is, he makes law whenever he wants. Whether the people are in support or not does not concern him. Now, I'll give you an example of such incident that happened in one of the countries very close to South Africa, known as Swaziland. Known as what? Swaziland. Swaziland is different from Switzerland. Okay? Switzerland is in Europe. But this Swaziland is in Africa, very close to South Africa. This absolute monarch made a decision to marry 16-year-olds, and these 16-year-olds were gotten after he must have performed some dances at the festival. They were forcefully chosen. Very barbaric tradition, you must say. And thank goodness the man is no longer there. He's already gone and his son has succeeded him. Okay. Another point is tradition is often the guiding principle which the king follows. Tradition is often the guiding principle which the king follows. Now, in this regard, whether the tradition is right or wrong does not really concern the man. All he knows is that it has been a norm, and he doesn't really care whose ox is God. Meaning, whether the tradition is barbaric or whether it is modern does not really concern him. All he wants to do is do something that he feels is right. Okay. Another point is monarchical governments are undemocratic as they are often not exposed to popular election. I'll take it again. Monarchical governments are undemocratic as they are often not exposed to popular election. I think this should be self-explanatory. You know, this system of government does not give room for elections. That means they can stay there as long as they are alive. They can be there as long as they live. No one has the power or right to question them. And whatever they have to say should be the final say. Okay. Because of time constraint, I would want us to stop here today. In our next class, we are going to continue with constitutional monarchy. We'll see the difference between absolute monarchy and a constitutional monarchy. So I would want you to go back, check out what we have learned so far, the meaning of monarchy system, you know, and the features of an absolute monarchy. Find out how many countries in the world that are still practicing monarchy system, be it absolute or constitutional. In our next class, we are going to concentrate on constitutional monarchy. Please try as much as you can to make your books your friend and, you know, not just dumping them there, you know, to accumulate dust. Try to read them. I know it has not been easy. Have a pleasant day.